Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
My mother always used to tell me when I was a boy that her mother used to tell her, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything nice at all. But then she'd look at me and say, but I'm not my mother, I'm your mother, and you're a waste of space, and I regret having you. This had a profound effect on my life. The point is, we just had a recent episode of Monday Night Raw, happened around about 12, 14, 16 hours ago, and by the time I got to the end of it, the only question I did have, well, I had two questions, was one, why was my mother so mean? And two, how in the hell was that the go-home show for SummerSlam, which in 2021 is meant to be WWE's biggest show of the year? But we shall talk about all that and so much more, and given that it is our first ups and downs of a brand new week, we have to look to last week and give out our MVP award, and of course, it goes to Christian Cage. What a terrific match he had with Kenny Omega. He is your brand new Impact Champion. I thought he proved everyone wrong, so good for him. I'm sure this award counts for so much more. Yeah, right, I don't think so. Anyway, let's up those downs for the latest episode of Montag Night Raw. Randy Orton kicked off Raw this week, and straight away he was saying the reason I gave an RKO to Riddle last week was because I didn't need his help. I would have been able to beat AJ Styles anyway. Also a 14-time world champion, and I don't have to give you any explanation, even though he had literally just given us an explanation. The other point is that you can no longer use this excuse because, no, Randy, you cannot just get away by saying, I don't have to give you an explanation. WWE and Monday Night Raw is a weekly episodic TV program that relies on stories. So you can't just go, well, unfortunately, nobody knows what did happen there. Let's just move on to the next beat, because if you do that, it leaves us, the fans, utterly confused. Look, we're all stupid, so you have to help us. I mean, it's the same when it comes to where the hell Orton was for the last 7 weeks. Now, I'm sure whatever it was in the real world was far more important than professional wrestling, but at least give me something. At least say, hey, Randy Orton really likes taking a bath, and he took one that almost lasted 2 months. But instead, we got nine. Anyways, Randy is going to be fighting Omos later, and he thinks he's a giant but also a jackass, and at that very moment, out came Riddle. Because, of course, it is Monday Night Raw, and you always have to wait around about 5 to 10 minutes for the opening promo to be done, and then out you come. As ever, he had a great line and said, I know the real reason you gave me the RKO last week is because you were just trying to teach me how to do the move properly, and now, please, can we be a team again? And I kind of thought this was a missed opportunity when it came to World Wrestling Entertainment, because I like the idea of Randy Orton dropping him with the RKO, because he is a psychopath, but also, this is how he figures you give out love. As it turns out, there was no love here. There was only hate because Randy Orton said, I don't want a team with you anymore. You can kiss my ass. Didn't say that last bit, but it was implied. Groundhog Day then hit Raw again, though, because, of course, we're still teasing what's going to happen with Randy Orton and Riddle. And then out came AJ Styles and Omos, and they were like, oh, we don't like you. You all suck. And once more, I was like, AJ, if you just stayed in the back and didn't build this feud, you probably wouldn't have to defend your tag team titles. You are literally stabbing yourself in the back. It also ended with AJ Styles and Riddle deciding to have a match, and I took my hand and I facepalmed with so much force, it took me about 10 minutes to rip it off again. Because honestly, you could probably go to a Raw over the last 10, 12, 14 weeks and find sometime, somewhere, Riddle and AJ Styles having a match. Why have we gone back to the well again? And look, these two are some of the greatest wrestlers there are, but it's the law of diminishing returns. I just didn't need to see it again, which is why all of this is getting down. But yes, as I've just said, as ever, AJ Styles is really talented and Riddle is really talented. So when they do get into it, well, I am sports entertained. So I do give it an up, but come on, WWE, stop being so lazy. Orton refused to fist bump Riddle as he was leaving, because of course, Randy Orton is a massive asshole. And then when it came to the finish of this, well, it weren't that great because Riddle went to the top rope, and simply because Omos existed and because Omos is a big guy, he was like, whoa, dude, I can't believe it. Oh, what am I meant to be doing? And he totally forgot, which allowed AJ Styles to beat him up and hit the Styles Clash and get the 1-2-3. I mean, that was just stupid. I also do count that as a distraction because Riddle took his eyes off the prize. It's not the counter's fault that there was no reason for it. So bring it down, and can you believe it? 92. As of the 17th of August, 2021, we have had 92 distraction finishes across all of WWE. I don't know about you, but I think that may be one too many. Down. Interview with Nikki A.S.H. afterwards, and she is going to take on Rhea Ripley and defeat her. And I do just need to say, the commentators have to stop calling Nikki A.S.H. nearly a superhero, Nikki A.S.H., because it means you're calling her nearly a superhero, Nikki nearly a superhero, which is some of the dumbest stuff I've ever heard in my life. And at this moment, Riddle was backstage as well, and he was super duper sad because Randy Orton doesn't need to be his friend. Now, you could see exactly where this was going, but sometimes that's exactly how you should feel. Our women's champion was then out for this match, and she lost. Down. Now, look, I do want to make a couple of things clear. One, I totally understand the story with not a superhero Nikki, not a superhero, which is that as long as you try and as long as you put yourself in positions to succeed, it doesn't matter if every now and then you drop the ball and it doesn't matter if you fail. This is a wonderful message to put out there, and I celebrate and I thank Nikki Cross for deciding, man, I'd like to put that message out there. But that doesn't mean that it translates to a good wrestling storyline. This also ties into number two, though, which is fair play to WWE and Nikki A.S.H. for giving it a go. Like, if you go on the internet during these segments, you have people melting down going, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. I can't believe it. We have to go out there and stab everybody. That's well too much. Draw it back a bit. And sure, on this night, it was like doubly bad because somebody had a sign right behind Nikki A.S.H. that said, not my superhero. But yeah, it's not clicking. Hopefully WWE will realize that and kind of shift it in a different direction, but I all just think we need to calm down. Sadly though, we're not doing that at the moment, and while Charlotte Flair was on commentary to add some kind of a flavor, after Nikki had tried to hit the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment around about 579 times, Rhea just booted her in the face, hit the riptide, 1-2-3, and I was like, man, that actually did come out of nowhere. Charlotte laughed at Nikki afterwards, so A.S.H. beat her up and Rhea Ripley got some shots in there for good measure. And my question I put to you is this, does it really feel like this was the super duper end of build for a match that happened at SummerSlam? And my personal answer is no. We were then backstage with Jinder Mahal, Veer and Shanky, and as it turned out, Jinder's goons were about to fight Drew McIntyre for the 942nd time. And I think the stipulation was, if they won, Drew McIntyre wouldn't be allowed to bring out the sword at SummerSlam, but if they lost, these two were banned from ringside. And don't worry about that last one. Worry about the former one. Are you telling me that if Drew does bring the weapon to SummerSlam, he's allowed to take it and kind of like disembowel Jinder Mahal as if he's Sideshow Bob? I mean, maybe I made that one up, but I think I heard that. It just doesn't make any sense. Jinder Mahal is not going to get stabbed, and if he does, I tell you this, there won't be a Monday Night Raw, because WWE going to get taken off the air. But like I say, though, it didn't mean we were doing this match again, and it's just Groundhog Day, Groundhog Day, Groundhog Day, but Bill Murray is nowhere to be seen. And the irony is that it turns ups and downs into Groundhog Day, because I have to report on the Groundhog Day happenings. Point is down. And Drew won this, of course, so I suppose he can kill somebody on Saturday, should he so wish. And he just claymored Shanky and he got the 1-2-3. He did quite a good promo afterwards, but much like the Charlotte, Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley stuff, it just hasn't clicked because we haven't been focusing on the right stuff, and instead, we've been focusing on a sword. That's right. The focus on this program has been an inanimate object that can't even cut a promo and never even got a proper push. McIntyre is great, and I do like Jinder Mahal, I just don't think any of this has been pushed in the direction that it should have been pushed. Before all that too, we saw MVP asking a stagehand to go and get Bobby Lashley a drink of water and an unseasoned chicken breast, and that was absolute gibberish. Is MVP actually trying to tell us that if Bobby Lashley put some salt onto his chicken, he wouldn't be a mass monster? I mean, maybe he'd get a little bit bloated, but how much salt does he want on his chicken? So I just wanted to get out there, because once again, it was dumb. You then won't believe this either. I mean, you will not believe it, and you will think I'm a dirty liar, and you'll come around my house, and you'll give me a slap. But Charlotte Flair was backstage with Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville moaning about what had just happened, and they said, well, you've got two choices. One, you can wait till the pay-per-view, or you can find a mystery partner, and we will do a tag team match later. And I was like, we don't need to see them. We've already... The point is, it happens, we'll talk about it later.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I also can't handle any more Miz TV. I cannot believe that Miz TV has to feature on Raw every single week. It's like somebody gets the script and they panic like, oh no, somebody hasn't put Miz TV in there. And back in 1492, we made a deal with the aliens that we must feature Miz TV every single week. And if we don't, they'll come down with their laser guns and turn us into dust. So on that hand, thank you very much. But on the other, right now, dust sounds pretty good. And sure, this week we called it Moist TV because John Morrison was hosting it. But if I put a wig on my head, do you know that I'm not bald? Of course you don't. You can see right through what I'm trying to do. Miz and Morrison were also talking about movies in the early going, just so Morrison could get the point across that he doesn't trust the Miz anymore because he lied about faking his injury. When Damian Priest came out, I was like, we cannot still be featuring Damian Priest with the Miz and John Morrison. They were feuding and we blew off the feud at WrestleMania, which was in flipping April. Also, last week, Damian clearly turned his intention to Sheamus, so why on earth would he interrupt here? And I had loads of problems with this segment as well, because both John Morrison and Damian Priest were like, Miz, you dirty little liar, you've been healed for weeks. But as the Miz said, the reason I didn't want to tell anyone is because I've never been injured that badly before, and I've got a wife and kids, so even though the doctor was telling me, hey, you're good to go, I just wanted to make sure. I can perfectly understand and relate to that, but apparently he's meant to be the bad guy. Damian Priest was even talking about the United States Championship here, so that's like ringing up your granddad and calling him grandma for the entire conversation. And yes, the whole other point was to tease that John Morrison finally doesn't like The Miz, but as ever, we go, go, tease, 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 but as turned out 30 seconds after this, they got back together anyway. Before all that, though, it turned out John Morrison was the general manager for the evening. Who knew that? So he made a match between Damian Priest and The Miz. And Damian Priest thankfully beat him, but there was a bit in the middle where Miz was like, oh, give me the drip skip. And John Morrison said, no, I'm not going to give you the drip stick. So Damian Priest gave him the bro kick, and Sheamus was at commentary by that time. He's like, oh, fella, I can't believe it. None of this was any good.
Down.
They also achieved absolutely nothing during this, and although we did have a little bit of a tete-a-tete between Sheamus and Damian Priest afterwards, it felt like an afterthought. And your United States Championship should never feel like an afterthought. Eva Marie was then yelling at the drop. So this is going well, isn't it? She wasn't happy that she didn't beat Alexa Bliss last week, so said, you have to go to Alexa's playground and you have to steal Lily. And I sat there and I thought, am I excited about how this is going to go? And my brain said, no, you're not. Maybe we should go and eat some cheese. So I did. And like I said earlier, the Miz and Morrison then just made up. I have no idea. Now, there was a good bit here because Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods were running in the background with big signs saying, buy our merchandise. But that also gave me the fear because I think it means we're actually going to go back to the New Day versus Miz and John Morrison. And these are four talented cats, but we've seen it time and time again. It would be like trying to put petrol in your car and petrol is just flowing out of the hole and someone's going, you got to stop. You're like, no, I really love petrol. That doesn't even make any sense. That's not even a good analogy. I don't even know where it came from. The point is, please just do something new and please just do something fresh. And then man, did I get punished for those kind of dreams, because the drop did go to Alexa's playground and she stole Lily from Bliss, and Alexa was all like, man, you don't want to do that, bro. It's going to go bad. So Doudrop just freaked out, gave it back and walked off. Alexa Bliss laughed at this, and I honestly don't know who it's for. I don't know. I mean, it's all very well put together, but the story doesn't make any sense because I cannot believe that a doll has powers. Down. Mansoor then defeated Mace, and I was pretty sure at this point I was stuck in a never-ending time loop. And as ever, it didn't even go 2 minutes, but look, at least Mansoor won. And I totally get this is 50-50 booking at its worst, but if Mansoor and Ali are trying to become like this odd couple that eventually become friends, they have to get victories, otherwise how can you get behind them? And yes, the finish was really stupid. Mace was going to win with those devastating moves of all of sports entertainment, but then Ali just booted him in the head, so Mansoor won with the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. But again, we grade on a curve, and at least I got what I wanted, which was Mansoor being victorious. Omos and Styles were then back next, because without them, Raw would be nothing, so they have to be featured at least 37,242 times on the same show. But this was pretty good, because Omos said that he's going to beat Randy Orton so bad he's going to become the new legend killer, and then AJ Styles said that he would become the moron killer because he just beat a moron named Riddle. That made me laugh. We then had a good video package focusing on Goldberg to match the one that we had with Bobby Lashley earlier, which I forgot to mention, and then we did go straight into Randy Orton versus Omos, and have a guess how it ended. That's right, it was a disqualification. Down. I mean, why did we even bother? 3 minutes, and Omos was just whooping the ass of Randy Orton, but AJ Styles still interfered. The commentators were all like, oh, it's because his emotions got the better of him. What emotions? He was just stood on the outside. So I bring down the disqualification board, and that moves up to 46. And of course, as soon as this was done, and AJ Styles and Omos were beating up Randy Orton, who came out to make the save? None other than Riddle. And this is when Raw finally got good. Because afterwards, Orton did get on a microphone and said how grateful he was about all of this, especially because last week he dropped Riddle, but now he's still coming out here to help him, so he's earned his respect. So you know what? RK-Bro are back together, and all of a sudden all these hearts were coming on the screen. I was like, oh, I have love in my life. I think some of that I made up in my head. But it was obvious, and it was good, and it was actually something fans wanted to see. And also, it was fun. The forgotten word in professional wrestling, and it's getting it up. Then it get a little bit weird, because Riddle was all like, oh, now we are back together. We'll challenge for the tag team titles at SummerSlam, which is yet another weak way to put a championship match together. But look, I want to see it, so I'm giving it a pass. Jeff Hardy was then being interviewed because he was angry that he'd lost to Karrion Kross last week. But did he come across as angry? No. And once again, it does fall into Groundhog Day because it was Karrion Kross versus Jeff Hardy, I think for the 92nd time over the last 37 hours. But look, this ties into the whole Ali Mansoor situation. They got in the ring and Karrion Kross just murdered him. I mean, I think he tapped him out to the cross jacket in around about 60 seconds. And this is what he should have been doing since day one. So as we do slowly climb back up the ladder, I need to support this stuff, even though once again, Groundhog Day reared its head. So I'm giving it an up. Eva Marie then slapped Doudrop in the face a bunch of times because she was really mad that she wasn't able to steal Lily. I don't really understand how all of that comes together. That is like going to someone and saying, hey man, how are you today? And they just go poo-poo. Like, I don't want to talk to you anymore because none of this is making any sense. I tell you though, I bet anything that Lily has somehow now possessed the drop, do drop. And at SummerSlam, when it is going to be Eva Marie versus Alexa Bliss, somehow now Alexa Bliss can cause do drop and that's the finish. You heard it here first on Simon Miller's Raw Review or Raw Ups and Downs. And I'm going to dread that for the next 5 days down. It was all our 24/7 title stuff next, although this time we've moved it away from an arena and we were doing it in a park. Reggie was here, was like, oh man, I love the park. It's where I learned to do my first backflip. And then if you looked in the background, you could see either Tozawa or R-Truth disguised as a bin just getting closer and closer. I laughed, I regretted it, but I realized I was being entertained. So while I think this whole thing needs to be changed and the 24/7 title needs to die, I'm giving it up. Tozawa and R-Truth then ran into each other because they are a couple of goose as Reddy just ran away. I don't get why we can't just do some really good triple threat matches in the ring, but that bin thing got me. A guy dressed as a bin, it was the worst disguise I've ever seen in my life. I'm an idiot. We then had another video for the death of Elias, and this one was even more intriguing than the one we got last week. Because Elias got a gravestone, and he pushed it into the ground, and on it it said Elias 2017 to 2021. I didn't know Elias was only 4 years old. I mean, we should have been giving him way more props. Because not only had a four-year-old become a WWE superstar, not only was a four-year-old really good at guitar, but also he could grow one hell of a beard. I can't even grow a beard now. This may be the greatest four-year-old ever, which made me doubly sad, because now apparently that guy's dead. I do have to say that this probably goes against all child labor laws, so WWE better want to lawyer up really, really quickly. And out of contest, this was kind of dark, because if you had just tuned in that very second, it did look like a kid had died. Charlotte Flair and mystery partner Nia Jax then defeated Nikki Ash and Rhea Ripley. And this all ended when Nia Jax basically had the match won. Charlotte tagged herself in, hit the natural selection on Rhea Ripley and got the 1-2-3, and that was that. It was fine, it was there. We also saw Shayna Baszler in the back playing cards, and I think she's a bit mad at Nia Jax, so we continue to tease that maybe one day they will break up. But who the hell knows if they ever actually will. And I get it, how dumb was this? We beat Rhea Ripley on the show, we beat Nikki Ash on the show, but it was just a fine, decent wrestling match, and given everything else I'd seen, I was gonna swallow it and just accept it for what it was. Astonishingly, we then had another backstage promo with AJ Styles. And look, I love AJ, I think he is one of the greatest wrestlers ever, and somehow he gets better with age, but we did not need this when there was a ton of other people we probably could have featured. Of course, it was just to confirm that we will do this tag team match at SummerSlam. But again, I said it earlier, it's called the Law of Diminishing Returns. Eventually, it just means nothing. It was then time for our main event segment, which was the big showdown between Bill Goldberg and Bobby Lashley. And you know what? This did exactly what it needed to do. Bill also came across like the nicest man ever because his son Gage was in the crowd. He was like, son, I came out of retirement for you because you're my world, you're my everything. And this Saturday at SummerSlam, when I do become the Universal Champion, that's completely wrong, when I do become the WWE Champion, once again it will be in your honor. Oh, Gage, you're the best. It's very pleasant. Bob and MVP then interrupted and said that all of this was crap because instead Goldberg's going to get destroyed and obliterated and ruined at SummerSlam, or essentially Goldberg going to get Goldberged. And that is exactly what we should be doing, because not only will it help Bobby Lashley get to the next level, but it's how you should use a legend such as Billy Boy Blue. The champion then promised to give Bill one last moment at SummerSlam, and Goldberg responded to this just by going, that is bullshit. And it was so not the thing he should have said, it was a bit like they were having two completely different conversations. Lashley then tried to attack, but of course Goldberg got out of the way and he hit him with a spear. So all of this ticked the boxes in the way that it should have done. This match should go no longer than 3 minutes at SummerSlam. Bobby Lashley should win. But yeah, given everything else we saw on this evening, this was all right. What was not all right though is that yes, again, this was meant to be the go home show for SummerSlam. And there was no sense of urgency. There was no sense of nothing. It was kind of just there. So Raw continues to be baffling, and very sadly, we take the finger of Bauer, and overall, we gotta give it a down.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.